Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Praise the name of Jesus. This morning when I got up, I was talking to Trish, and I said, you know, Wednesday is Passover, and if you know the Messiah, then you see how deep that celebration is. And I said to Trish, we celebrate today the Lord's Supper. And I said, we're celebrating bypass, because we bypass through Jesus' death. We bypass through Jesus' judgment. We bypass what is due us. Condemnation and everlasting torture in hell and then the lake of fire. So we're celebrating today. We're celebrating Jesus. We're celebrating his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name, for you are a mighty God. We love you. We thank you for loving us and that you are mindful of us to send your Son to die in our place to pay our sin debt. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would infill us, empower us to love you more with our heart, soul, and mind. What is due you, Lord? We can't praise you enough. We love you. And as we celebrate today your wonderful gift, I just can't praise you enough, Lord. Father, as we read from your word, and Pastor Cal brings forth the word, and Billy, I pray that you would bless them, guide them, direct them as they lead us through the word. I pray for the teachers in Sunday school this morning that you bless them, Lord, as they've prepared all week to bring your lessons to the children. But God, we praise you because you are the God of salvation. There is no God like you. There is none to compare to you. By your power, you spoke all things into existence, the heavens and the earth and all that is in it. You created us. So we praise and we worship you, Lord. No God in this world. There is no other God but you. The false gods that other people, they worship, they don't offer any hope. They don't offer any assurance of salvation, but you, Lord God, you've given us your word to assure us who you are. You've told us the beginning, and you've showed us what the end is looking like, and we see that coming now. So, Father, if there's anybody here that has not come to grips with their sin, that they need you, Lord, we pray, Father, that they will not leave this place without coming to know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. We love you, Jesus. We thank you again. And may all things be done for your glory and your honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. While you're finding John chapter 12, we're going to start there at verse 9 and hopefully be able to get through verse 19. But while I'm doing that, while you're doing that, let me just tell you, I had a good conversation with the gatekeeper down at Riverview Cemetery this morning. And he works for the city, normally goes around and opens up all the cemetery gates at dawn and closes them at dusk. Well, I said, what time do you open up the gates here? And he said, well, about 7 o'clock. And I said, well, our church would love to have a sunrise service down here this Easter Sunday. He said, well, what time? And I said, well, the sun comes up before 7 o'clock, you know. And he said, well, how does 6 a.m. sound? I said, great. So we're going to have a sunrise service at Riverview Cemetery. It's on Spring Street right down here off of Riverside next Sunday morning at 6 a.m. We'll find out who loves mornings. And we're going to lift up Jesus. Just going to be a short service. Bring a coat. And we're going to head up to the top of the hill there at Riverview Cemetery and lift up Jesus. And wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus were to come on Easter morning? What, it'd mess up Easter egg hunts for everybody? Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's all stand as we honor God's Word. John chapter 12. I want to read verses 9 and 10 and then and 11, and we'll move on after that. This is the Word of God for God's people on God's day. Now, a great many. Now, think about that. A great many. How would we describe that? A whole bunch, right? A great many of the Jews knew that He was there. Now, who is He? And they came not just for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom He had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Hallelujah. Our leadership for Child Evangelism Fellowship, that team is with us today, and John and Lynn McAllister, we so appreciate everything y'all are doing. Jesus is in the last week of His life before the crucifixion, okay? And it's Passover week in Jerusalem. Now, Jewish historian Josephus, 2nd century, tells us that there were probably 2 million Jews in town and around the surrounding country to celebrate the greatest Jewish festival of the year. 2 million. As a matter of fact, the Jewish law said that if you were a Jewish adult male and you lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem, you had to go and celebrate the Passover there in Jerusalem. And so we see all this excitement coming in town and the buzz of the crowd and just folks that were everywhere. They're looking forward to celebrating. What would we consider this similar to? A lot of folks coming home to celebrate a holiday. Yeah, yeah. And so, but you've got some other things going on here as well. The day that our text talks about this morning is the 11th of Nisan, which is Palm. Yeah. And so things were quickly coming to a head, and Jesus was totally in charge of everything that was going on the last week of His life. How many of you know He's in charge? Yes, He's in control. And Jesus could have not really have chosen a more dramatic moment to announce to the world that He's the long-awaited Jewish Messiah and Gentile Savior. And so He's coming to a city that's filled up with people. And by the way, don't ever forget, Jesus was a Jewish man. Okay? And so every good Jewish man would be in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But there's tremendous political, military even, and religious overtones going on in this passage of Scripture. The raising of Lazarus had been a great miracle. Do y'all know anybody that's been raised from the dead? Well, bless God, I thought y'all had been raised from death unto life. Jesus had raised, literally, one of His best friends, Lazarus, from the dead. And people were coming from everywhere to the little town called Bethany, which was just over the eastern side of the Mount of Olives. That's where He lived. And people were coming by the droves to catch Lazarus. And boy, I tell you, Lazarus had a great witness. He had a tremendous testimony, obviously, and so a lot of folks had come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of Lazarus. May that be said of us. May that be said of us. And so the witness of Lazarus was irrefutable. The Pharisees, the religious crowd, couldn't stop all the excitement. And could this Jesus be the long-awaited, this Jesus of Nazareth, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah? Could he be the one? And so all of these political and religious and military, this one that was coming, could he be the one that they'd been looking for so long? Now, for months, Jesus had tried to keep a lid on this stuff. But now is the time. And maybe, just maybe, this day that we call Palm Sunday may have been the greatest day for Jesus popularity-wise. Okay? And the announcement that day is that, hey, he's here. Our long-awaited Messiah, the King, is here. And there's several things I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at that are taking place, that are going on in this announcement to the world of just who he was. First of all, I want you to look at verses 12 and 13. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Now, you've got tremendous praise. Praise is included in this announcement of our Lord and Savior. Great praise. Now, the waving of palm branches, okay, and the laying down of garments in the road, that often happened when a conquering Roman general would come to town or a great king would come to town, and they would welcome him in that manner. And the waving of palm branches and the laying of what was symbolic of two things, peace and victory. And so as Jesus begins his descent down the Mount of Olives, this huge crowd runs out from the city to greet him. And they're waving palm branches in celebration of victory. I mean, our King is coming, our Savior, he's coming. And so they want to celebrate, and they're thinking, man, anybody that can raise somebody from the dead could get us out from the heavy hand, the oppression of the Romans. And so they're looking at peace and victory, and it's all wrapped up in our Savior. And so the words that they're using there, though, in verse 18, excuse me, in verses 12 and 13, those are scriptures that are found over in Psalm chapter 118, verses 25 and 26. This is fulfilling the Word of God. Everything that's happening has already been prophesied about. And so the word Hosanna means save now. Save now. Say that with me. Save now. And so they're shouting, Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is our long-awaited King. And the Messiah was coming. And victory was at hand. And Luke chapter 19 fills in some other details. And this tremendous praise that's going up for the Lord as he's coming down the mountain there is just at fever pitch. And the religious crowd didn't like it. Boy, sometimes, y'all, the religious crowd can be the cold water committee. You understand what I'm talking about? And so they come to Jesus. They don't like what's going on. And they said, why don't you tell your followers to just shut up? Now, that's the Cal Hampton Standard Version, but that's basically what they meant. And do you remember what Jesus said to them? If they're quiet, the rocks will cry out and give me praise. And you know, that really speaks to my heart today, because he has saved me. I mean, he has given me what I didn't deserve. All of my sins have been taken care of, like we were singing about this morning. All my sins have been washed away. He's given me peace that passes understanding. I've got the victory that overcomes the world. My life is filled with meaning and purpose. I know who I am. I know why I'm here. How to bring praise and glory and honor to God. And brothers and sisters, if you're saved, there ought to be praise for the King. Oh, that's terrible. You can do better than that. Let's give him praise in the house. Hallelujah. Great praise. Glory to his name. You know, that's not dignified. God, teach us, help us to learn how to praise you. The psalmist said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Whew, help us, Jesus. So praise is included in this tremendous announcement of the Lord being the Messiah and the Savior. But you've got this great processional march coming down the Mount of Olives. We're going to see that, where that took place, literally, when we go to Israel next month. but look at verses 14 and 15. Are you there? Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it. As it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Now, in the other gospel accounts of this, of Palm Sunday, Jesus had asked two of his disciples, they were all up in Bethany, and there's a little village just real right by Bethany called Bethphage. And he said, sent two of his disciples over there. He said, I want you to go to this village and you'll find a donkey that's tied up there, a young colt, a young donkey. And you get that donkey and bring him to me. And so the two disciples get over to Bethphage, and there he is, that young donkey, that colt that's tied up. And they're loosing him, you know, and trying to take him to jail. And so the owner said, what do you want with this donkey? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Can I just stop here for about 30 seconds? What do you have that Jesus can use for his glory and honor? And let me go a step further. If Jesus can use a donkey, Billy, what's a donkey sound like? I can do the horse, but I can't do the donkey. If Jesus can use a donkey, he can use you. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants to use you. He wants to use all of us. And so he's going to use this donkey. Let me read. You don't have to go there. I've got it in here, I think. This fulfills Scripture again as well. Zechariah, the great prophet, said in his book that he wrote, Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of... You see, every now and then the church ought to just shout. Oh, that's not Baptist. Yeah, it sure isn't. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Listen to this. Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so hundreds of years before this ever happened, the Word of God said, this is what's going to happen when I announce to the world that this is my Son, this is my Messiah, this is your Messiah, this is your Savior. And so all of this is fulfilling Scripture. Now, I think probably there's a lot of discussion about what's going on, but as Jesus, by the way, I don't want to go into that, but have you ever tried to ride an animal that had never been ridden before? Yeah, some of y'all have. What happens when you try to ride an animal that's never been ridden before? Man, they throw a fit, don't they? Diana and I, with my grandchildren last week, we watched that old movie called Black Beauty. And man, you should have seen that horse when folks were trying to ride him. Well, that's the way a young colt, a young horse, a young donkey would act. And so they bring this donkey to Jesus. And John just simply tells us Jesus sat down on him. And that donkey didn't buck. He didn't throw a fit. He didn't bite. He didn't bray. Do you know why that is? You see, Jesus not only sits on the back of donkeys, he sits over the throne of the universe. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And that donkey knew that. How did he know that? He just did. if some of y'all would just smile every now and then, it won't help you, but it'll sure help me. Quit frowning. Let's give God praise today. Hallelujah. Now, you've got this processional march coming down. We would call it a parade, okay? Probably what we would call it. And they're coming down in this great processional march. They're giving God great praise. They're thinking, oh man, our peace and victory is upon us. And the Pharisees are mad as hornets. The crowd is stirred up and excited. And the donkey is submissive. I mean, everything is happening according to God's will. And so there's a third thing going on with this procession of praise. There's prophecy, and I mentioned that a minute ago. But in Psalm 118 and in Zechariah 9, those things had been written down in Scripture hundreds of years before, describing what the event would be like when the Jewish Messiah would come. Fulfilling Scripture. It was all written down. They had it in the Word of God. And so the crowd's there, the colt was there, and the king was there. But it seemed like that most people, even though they were involved in praise and in this procession, they'd forgotten about the Scriptures. Listen to verse 16 in John chapter 12. His disciples did not understand these things at first. What does that tell you? They either didn't know the Scriptures or they'd forgotten about the Scriptures. They'd forgotten about, and maybe they didn't believe the Scriptures. But when Jesus was glorified, watch this, then they remembered that these things were written about Him and that they'd done these things to Him. You know, the day that Jesus came riding down that mountain, headed towards the eastern gate of the holy city, and being hailed as the long-awaited Savior and King of the Jews. It had all been written about in the Word of God. But people didn't even, they either didn't remember the Word of God or didn't know the Word of God. Or maybe they didn't believe the Word of God. And you know what? One reason, just one big reason folks don't know the Lord today is because they don't know the Scriptures. That's why we're so big here at Second Mile on getting the Word of God to people. That's all that matters. We got to get the Word to people. And I hear this all the time. I wish God would speak to me. God has spoken. What is this? This is not a record of God's Word. This is God's Word. We have it right here. He has spoken to us. We have the Scriptures. And how do I say this? The Bible says that everybody in this room at one point in time was separated from God. The Bible says we were in enmity against God. We were enemies of God. Why? Because of our sin. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But hallelujah, God loved us so much. He sent His one and only unique Son. And Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. And He went to a cross, and He took my place, and He took your place, and died for all of our sins. He paid the price for us, as we sang about this morning. He became our sacrifice. And the Word of God tells us this morning, if you'd be willing to repent, to turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, and surrender to Him as the Lord of your life, He'll become your Savior. He'll become your Savior. That's the Scripture. That's the Word of God. And so, if you'll do that, by the way, you'll get the same thing those folks were looking for. You'll have peace that passes all understanding, and you'll have the victory that overcomes the world. Look at your neighbor and say, woo-wee. Here's what I really wanted to get to this morning. There's one final thing that's included in this procession of praise and prophecy. It's perception. John tells us later. Let's read the Scripture. Look at verse 17. Therefore the people who were with Him when He called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason the people also met Him because they heard that He had done this sign. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him. You see, they're mad as hornets. They're upset. And John tells us later that when the disciples got to thinking about this day and they began to remember how the crowd in Jerusalem had converged on the crowd that was coming down the mountain, and they began to remember how everyone, the excitement that took place with the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and how they'd all come out to greet the king. They're all thinking, they perceive that on that day that this Jesus, anybody that could raise the dead, could defeat the Romans. That was their perception. They're thinking of him as a political king, a military king. He was going to take the Jews back to prominence. And then the Pharisees, they're madder than a bunch of wet hens. They understood what's going on. As they watched this great crowd go after Jesus to honor him, they were quite sure that Jesus had won the battle that day. It was as if the whole world had gone after him. Little did they know Jesus was forcing their hand. The Pharisees would act soon enough. How many of you know every dog has his day? And the Pharisees would have theirs. The Lamb of God, on the very day that those Passover lambs were slain, the Lamb of God was slain. Same time, same day. And so, there's one other person that I want us to see what his perception was of this event. Let's just turn there with me. Look at Luke 19. Luke 19, that's right beside this gospel. Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 41. We'll close with this. How many times have you heard a preacher say, I'm closing? That's just a lie, isn't it, right? Luke 19, verse 41. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city. Now, watch this. Don't miss this. He wept over it. If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. The Lord's perception as he's coming down on the Mount of Olives and as he's looking out at the city and his people, he began to weep over their spiritual condition. The very one who came to save them turned away from him. The majority of them did. Oh, there was a few. And their lives were changed, but the vast majority of people rejected him and said no. And so he weeps. He weeps. Do you know how much God loves you? And I want to tell you, I watch y'all. Y'all think you're watching me? I'm watching you in here on Sunday mornings. And I can tell, not all the time, but some of y'all get under conviction. And I see God speaking to you and all over you. And Sunday after Sunday, I watch, and it makes me want to cry. And you'll quench the Spirit of God by not responding in obedience. I don't know who I'm talking to in here today, but I'm going to tell you, if you'll just say yes to whatever God's calling you to do, it'll be the best thing you ever did. What's God saying to you? More importantly, let me ask you, when Jesus looks at your life, is he weeping still? Is he tore up, concerned? How does he perceive your spiritual condition this morning? And by the way, many of the folks in that crowd that day that were shouting, "Hosanna, let's crown him," in just a few short days, many of them were shouting, "Crucify him." They missed the time of their visitation. And I know God is speaking to people all across this room today about your relationship with him. He loves you so much. And the prayer of this pastor's heart is that everybody and every... Did y'all know every one of you have been prayed for? We've got some prayer warriors that come in here on Saturdays and they pray over every single seat. And bless God, most of them know where you sit. And they're praying for you. And I may not be your pastor, but I've been praying for you this week that you would recognize the time of your visitation and say yes to Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, please, please give folks the courage to say yes to Jesus. This is your time. It isn't mine. This is yours. And so in the quietness and stillness of this moment, I've already shared the gospel with them, how to be saved. These folks know how to be saved. God, would they right now bow their heads and their hearts and their knees to you and agree with you about their sin and admit it? We're all guilty. And right now, God, that they would place all of their trust and their faith in you by turning from their sin and surrendering to Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. Make it so, Father. And there are others here that are baby Christians, have never really matured and grown in their faith. And you're speaking to them today. And they need to hit this altar and ask you to forgive them. And they need to prepare their hearts for the taking of the Lord's Supper. So God, during this altar call, I pray for those that need salvation. I pray for those that need sanctification, that need to grow. And I pray for those that have sin in their life, but they'd get that right with you. Thank God for the blood of your Son, Father. If you're here this morning in the quietness and stillness, Andrew's going to sing. I just want you to just sit where you are. And if you prayed to receive Christ in this service, you cannot be a private Christian. You've got to get up and come. We want to talk to you about your decision today. I'll be at the front to receive you. We'll give you some counsel. Or maybe you just need to come and pray. We got prayer warriors here that can pray heaven down over you. But you've got to come. You've got to have the courage to do what God's telling you to do. Are you going to quench the spirit, or are you going to do what God's telling you to do? Do you recognize the time of your visitation? The Spirit of God speaking. Brother Andrew begins to sing, you just come. They'll let you out of your seat. Just tap their knee, just come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.